Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter 19, which is entitled Transference of Spirits. And the objectives are this. Upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to explain the phrase transference of spirits. You'll be able to give a biblical example of the transference of a good spirit and give a biblical example of a transference of an evil spirit. And you'll be able to explain counter strategies for defense against transference of evil spirits. Our key verse today is from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 17. And it says, "And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear not thyself alone." Introduction. In this chapter, we're going to study the most powerful and influential strategies used by Satan. Recognition of this strategy will answer many questions you've had in the past as you witness negative changes in your family, friends, and church fellowship, perhaps even in yourself. The strategy of which we speak is called the transference of spirits. Some examples from life. First, consider the following examples from life. Example 1. Your youngest son was raised to be a part of a closely knit family with good communication. He respected your rules and you attended church together. Suddenly, he does not want to be with your family or attend church. He becomes sullen, withdrawn, and rebellious. He defies your instructions and stays out late at night, and you cannot understand the sudden change. You did not have this problem with your older son. You have given them both the same love and guidance. So, what caused this situation? Example 2. An assistant pastor who was formerly a great spiritual blessing to the church becomes discontent, critical, and refuses to submit to the leadership of the pastor. He gathers a group of people around him, and they develop similar attitudes. The assistant pastor sows discord and splits the fellowship. So, what is the problem? Examine the problem with your son, and you will find the change came about after someone else came into his life who he respected and admired. He began to associate closely with this person. He began to tell you what they thought or said and what their parents allowed, and he began to pattern himself after their style of behavior and dress. In the case of the associate pastor, you'll find a similar situation. Because families in the church loved and respected him as a spiritual leader, they listened as he sowed the seeds of discord. His critical and rebellious spirit soon spread to others in the church. Transference of spirits. Both of these situations occurred because of a strategy of Satan called the transference of spirits. To transfer means to convey from one person to another, and the word spirit as used in this lesson refers to the character, attitude, or motive behind an action, not a demon. The actions of each person exhibit a certain spirit. For example, a person could demonstrate a gentle spirit, a boisterous spirit, or a rebellious spirit by his actions. A person's spirit can be influenced by the spiritual forces of good or evil, and he can transfer his spirit to others on a personal or a group basis. Importance of the spirit. Before you study some biblical examples about transference of spirits, it's important to understand your own spirit and why it's an important target of Satan's attack. Because God created your spirit. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretch forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." Then we also find in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5, it says, "Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and a spirit to them that walk therein." So it is the spirit that gives life, according to James chapter 2, verse 26. It says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. At death, the spirit returns to God." According to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22, it said, "Who knoweth the spirit of God that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth?" In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So God is the Lord of your spirit. We find that in the Numbers chapter 27, verse 16. It says, "Let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." And in Hebrews 12, 9, it says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" We also find that God weighs or judges our spirit. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, it says, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." God wants to put his spirit, or the Holy Spirit, within you, so you'll be able to live for him. This is why Satan attacks our spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, it says, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." God wants to preserve your spirit in holiness until the return of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." One important reason Satan attacks the spirit of man is because it is the spirit that bears witness with the Holy Spirit, and it gives us assurance of our salvation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Another reason is that God uses your spirit to guide your life. In the natural world, a candle gives light so that one has guidance. This is the function of the spirit in the spiritual world. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, it says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of the belly. Satan also attacks the spirit because he knows it is a man of right spirit that God uses for his kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, it says, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Satan attacks the spirit because God dwells with a man of a right spirit. He also sends revival through to a man of a right spirit. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, verse 15, it says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." When Satan causes wrong spirits in a church fellowship, he prevents revival. Satan combines his attacks on your spirit with his attack on your tongue. As you previously learned, the tongue is used by Satan to cause a breach in the spirit. A breach is an open place, a hole that provides entrance for the enemy. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." When Satan causes you to sin with your tongue, he has created a breach which provides access to your spirit. Is transference of spirit scriptural? It is possible to receive another spirit, because Paul mentions transference of another spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, it says this, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received." Biblical examples also support the concept of transference of spirits. An example of the transference of a good spirit would be found in Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 through 17, and it says this, And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, thou that bear not, that thou may not bear it alone. So the powerful anointing of God upon Moses was transferred from him to these selected elders. They came under the influence of Moses. Their spirits were in unity and submission to his. Satan's strategy, transference of an evil spirit. Satan is an imitator, not an originator. He uses the pattern established by God for transferring a good spirit to transfer wrong spirits between men. One example, this is the story of the 12 spies that were sent out by Moses to spy out the land promised by God to Israel. You can read the account in Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 and 14 through 39. 10 of these spies returned with a negative report. They told of the great walled cities and the powerful enemy forces in the land. They transferred a spirit of fear and unbelief to God's people. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 31, it says, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And there are giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we are in their sight. But the two of the 12 spies had a different spirit. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, it says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where into he went, and his seed shall possess it. And then we find in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 8, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through is to search is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. So here are two contrary spirits seeking to control the people. One was the spirit of unbelief. The other was the spirit of belief. And in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So you can look now at how the negative spirit of the 10 spies affected the people. It said that in Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we have died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said to one another, let's make a captain and let us return into Egypt. So there were spirits of despair, murmuring, rebellion, transferred by the 10 spies to God's people. Israel was not kept out of the promised land because of an inferior army. They were kept out because of a wrong spirit. Why were the people affected by an evil spirit instead of the good? Because of the basic sin nature, people tend to immediately accept and believe an evil spirit. There's also a tendency to follow the crowd and accept the decision of the majority as the will of God. Also, if Israel had accepted the positive report, it would have meant putting their lives on the line. They would have to expose themselves to great danger. Our human nature always wants to take the easy way out. So this powerful strategy of transferring of spirits accounts to many of the spiritual battles fought by believers today. It accounts for the abrupt changes from positive to negative behavior, which we experience and we witness in those around us. It explains why two children raised in the same home who received the same Christian training can turn out so differently. It is the reason behind divisions in homes, fellowships, and church fellowships and friendships. When you maintain close association with or come under the influence of a person with a wrong spirit more powerful than yours, you're open to the transference of that spirit to your own spirit. You're influenced by that spirit and it is transferred to you. So here are some counter strategies preventing transference of an evil spirit. God has given spiritual counter strategies to prevent the transference of an evil spirit. First off, we need to control our own spirit. So control your own spirit. Be sure that you do not develop a wrong spirit which you can transfer to others. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, it says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls." In Proverbs 16, verse 32, it says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." And lastly here, Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Therefore take heed to your spirit that you not deal out treacherously." So you also want to guard your tongue. As you've learned, the tongue can be used to create a breach in the spirit and to provide access to the enemy. So you need to watch what you say. You also need to guard your affections. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Guard your affections. Do not give your respect and love to just everyone. You open up yourself emotionally to those you love and respect, and that's what makes you receptive to their spirit. You also want to carefully select your associates. The book of Proverbs warns repeatedly of the danger of association with those that have a wrong spirit. For example, you can read in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, and chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. It says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a curious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get snare to thy soul." And it says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it and pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." And it says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge." And also it says, "But be not among winebibbers or drunkards." And also says, "Whoso is a partner with a thief hateth his own soul." So if you walk with the wise men, their spirits will be transferred to you. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And that's Proverbs 13:20. So you want to choose your associates carefully. If you're a parent, carefully monitor the associates of your children. You also want to guard your physical senses. You remember from the study of the flesh that your physical senses are important. Protect your hearing from reports of gossip, accusations, slander, and criticism. They can cause you to develop a wrong spirit. Guard your eyes from violent and pornographic movies or reading materials which can transfer the spirits of adultery and lust. Use caution in laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is one of the foundations of the Christian faith spoken of by Paul in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 through 3. It's important that spiritual purposes, which are covered in detail in another Harvest Time course, which you did probably the first course, is the foundations of faith. What is important to recognize here is that it is demonstrated in the story of Moses and the 70 elders that a spirit can be transferred by the laying on of hands. If a good spirit can be transferred by the laying on of hands, it's probable that an evil spirit can be also. So be careful about those who you allow to lay hands on you for the purpose of spiritual impartation. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.